Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Hi, welcome to The Hype Seat. My guest today is the infamous Kyle Lux. He is a fine artist. He is a sports artist.
Yeah.
In the new studio. I think you're the first Hype Boss client that we're having here in The Hype Seat in the new studio.
Thank you. I was holding out for the
the full deal. Well, listen, I feel like I'm
only talking into the best mics.
I feel like you and I are not going to get through this without it being like just like we share such a sense of humor at this point that I feel like there's like just going to be a lot of inside jokey storytelling that our audience is just going to have to wear. So you and I have grown pretty close over the last year. I've been building this Hype Boss business, basically running in parallel to working with you as you've been, I wouldn't say building your business, but as we've spent the last year really rounding out your story as an artist and amplifying parts of your story. I think as we go into this podcast episode, what people need to know about you is how wicked smart you are, how insanely talented you are. And we'll talk about all that. But I would encourage anyone listening to this to press pause really quickly, go to KyleLux.com, browse his art so you can see what it is that we're talking about as we reference the Coco and the all these different pieces by first, as if we're on a first name. We are on a first name basis with her. You are Coco Gauff. But the Jimmy that like, just go and check out his art really quick and then come on back. So this is a long time coming. When we first started working with you, one of my like wish list things for your content and for selfishly for my own content, because I feel like your story is so interesting, was to do a podcast with you or, you know, record some kind of content where I can actually have a conversation with you. And now here we are nearly a year later. So tell me this, for those that don't know you, give us your background, who you are, what you are.
I am a professional fine artist specializing in portraits. So I'm from St. Louis. I grew up in a very sports heavy city that's in my blood. And so I gravitate to painting athletes, but also musicians, which also, you know, music stirs up a lot of emotion. So I'm painting that. I'm trying to capture that emotion. But I'm a history enthusiast. So historical figures, some political figures in there, and then cultural icons. So I think James Bond, Jackie Kennedy, Audrey Hepburn, the people that traverse generations that your grandparents tell you about and you grew up. It's like all of that just, it connects people from all ages. So I like painting anything. I get goosebumps talking about it. Just these subjects that have such a weight to them that bring people together and tell a story.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I feel like every piece that you have that, so how many paintings do you have like that you are part of your like catalog at this point? I should know the answer to this, but I don't.
I mean, there's easily just 100 on the website.
Yeah, right?
Hundreds, yeah. I know most of them. Some of the older pieces, when I was maybe doing more frequency, smaller work, I don't remember every single thing, which is probably a sign of aging. But yeah, it's a lot. And about half lately have been my own ideas, something I'm inspired by, and then the other half are commissions. People bring their idea to me, usually within the portrait genre, and I will paint that person or that family, and that's something they can have for generations and pass it down and take a lot of pride in. You know, it's a portrait artist has been around for hundreds, thousands of years, and I take great pride in being that person in this day and age.
Yeah, it's a pretty remarkable responsibility. I mean, right? Like when someone commissions you to paint their family, and I know you, you tell me what you like painting. And I'm saying this because I want to give you the opportunity. Go ahead.
It does boil down to being athletes first and foremost because of the style. A lot of it, like I think my paintings look best when I can use the splatter paint, when I can evoke that sense of motion and power. And that just inherently comes with things in motion, like athletes, equestrian work, all of that. I think it is when everything's really clicking. I can tone it down and I can take that out for something like a Jackie Kennedy. It needs to be a little more feminine, a little more polished. And then there are family portraits where there's not a lot of that grit and texture at all.
Well, you're really
good at it. There's a different look to it. Thank you.
You're really good at it. Like your paintings are both realistic while also being, what's the word, like with where like your spin is still on it. But I think you do a really good job of injecting in creativity. But when there's energy or movement involved, like that's where you, I think, really shine. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that is the essence of my style. I used to do watercolor. I fell in love with watercolor.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
I held off for a long time because my mom gave me a fair warning. She's like, it's really difficult. So I wasn't trying to discourage me.
Why is it difficult?
It dries incredibly fast.
Oh.
So the opposite of oil paint. There is no way to go back and fix your mistakes and cover your tracks. So imagine watercolor.
So if you put the wrong lyric on a... put a pin in that. We'll talk about that in a second.
That never happened. So watercolor, imagine you're painting almost like with sheets of transparent glass. All that layers, and that's what creates the depth and the effects. And it dries so fast. It's like spinning plates. Like you can't let something go undetected because it will dry on you in a way that maybe you're not anticipating, and that effect is going to be there. And the only way to cover up is to get thicker and thicker, and that takes away from watercolor. That's the essence of watercolor.
So are the artists that are known for watercolor, like is Monet water? No, really?
Oil.
No. Who's a watercolorist?
John Singer Sargent is
Never
a
heard
name.
Of her. Is that why watercolor isn't as prevalent as?
That's part of the reason.
Interesting.
It was kind of looked down upon in the fine art world. And it might still be to a degree. People think the artist needs to be painting in oil and linen and all this bullshit. And like,
interesting.
Yeah.
It's so crazy how much I've learned working with you, not only art, but the art community, art stereotypes, artist stereotypes, like things that you, like one of the things that you and I kind of, I wouldn't say we get into it on it, but like one of our points of friction, if you will, is I want to storytell more around your process. Like there are certain things that I think are so interesting as part of your process. And you as an artist are like, well, you would never show behind the curtain with that. Like, you know, whether it be like how you clean your brushes or, you know, whatever. Because I, as a consumer, I think it's so, like, I would have never guessed that about watercolor. But, take me back on track.
not going off all these tangents, because I will go down that path. But the watercolor has this effect of being backlit almost, because the paper is bright white. And the way that it has this appearance is it looks brighter than a white canvas. So the light's almost reflecting through it and coming through all these thin layers of watercolor, and it glows. And when it's pulled off perfectly, it's magic. So I was picking up on that. I was in love with these watercolor artists, all from the same kind of group in Australia, which is equivalent to like the French Impressionists. They're all hanging out in cafes in Paris. Like these guys were in Australia.
Interesting.
Kind of from the same school. Similar style, similar look. They're all fairly contemporary still, still around, still doing it, still showing. And so many people have copied their styles. That's how good they are. And some people are blatantly copying and having very successful careers. So it's like, that's how good it is. That's how much people like the look of this. And it's a lot of cityscapes. It's a lot of contrast and shadows. Long story short, I loved this. And so I taught myself how to paint like that and taught myself watercolor.
How old, like what era are we of Kyle?
This was right when I became self-employed. So
like when you were like 5, 12?
No,
like
no, this is 25. This was mid-20s. Yeah, when I quit my job at 26.
For the audience.
A couple years ago.
You started your career as an artist when? just so people don't know, think I'm weird with that question.
Well, it's tough because I've always considered myself an artist. But if you looked at like my resume, it's...
Well, you're published in Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, it was published in Sports Illustrated.
That's where I said it was.
Okay, all right.
That was a pencil, right?
That was a colored pencil. So did a drawing that I was basically 10 when I finished it, submitted it to Sports Illustrated for Kids.
How much does it bother you that you were What is this? Because by the way, you and I have never talked about this. I've clocked this on a handful of things where you say that you were 10 when you finished it, but they published you were 11, right?
So actually I just brought it back from St. Louis. You can see the original eventually. I signed it to my house.
Oh, cool.
So I signed it 2 weeks before my 10th birthday. So I was technically 9. And because my mom is a fine artist, she was able to tell me, like, sign and date your work. You'll thank me later. So it's got my full signature and date on the front of it. So we submitted it when I was 10 to Sports Illustrated for Kids. That was something that people did, kids did. And so it took them 2 years to publish it and 2.5 years. But when they published it, in the back it said, Kyle Lux, St. Louis, Missouri, age 12. And I think because my mom was aggravated, as I got aggravated, I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, give me some credit. I was younger. This is a really good drawing for a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
It's okay for a 12-year-old. Like, I was getting an ego about it.
That's so funny.
I don't have this massive ego. There's a sense of wanting, you know.
I think that's completely, the difference between a 9-year-old and a 12-year-old is like significant. Right? I have a 9-year-old and a 12-year-old.
Yeah. 25% older. So I wanted... So kind of the recognition that I was younger and showing some talent. And so that was my show and tell piece. But with my mom's insight and input, she's like, yeah, art's not going anywhere. You can do it. It's time. It's practice. You don't need a degree in fine art to be a fine artist. However, if you want to get hired out of college and get a salary and benefits, and like, that's a smart move, you should go to business school, like go get a degree. Cause she worked in corporate America at the time. And she knew that masters were being required for every job that she saw around her. And she's like, the writing's on the wall. It's computers and it's advanced degrees. Mm-hmm. It's like, go get a 4-year education in business, something that can be adapted to the business world. And I actually didn't end up listening to that. I cut this part out of my usual story.
What's your degree in?
Marketing. After being overwhelmed by choice as a high school senior, I went to a community college in St. Louis.
Oh, I didn't know.
They paid me to go there. Like, it was fine. I got a pretty good education in that 2 years, but I went in as a fine art major. After all of that overwhelm, I was like, I'm going to stick to what I know. I want to be an artist. I went in, and within my first semester of taking studio drawing classes, drawing nudes, 3 hours straight, like all of this stuff.
You learn about like, so drawing nudes, not to be like weird, but did you, because you do such a good job of drawing like human form. Like, did you learn a lot? Not from drawing nudes,
So it goes back to a very early.
Like that Cambiasso arm, like sort of thinking of like when he was like jacked. Super stoked about how jacked he made his arm.
I'm not like a Michelangelo where I know the anatomy in and out. Like he would study cadavers and all that. Like I don't know down to the muscle fibers, but everything's down to shapes. And that's like what you learn early on. It's like, you're not drawing a face or a horse or a shoe. You're drawing shapes. And when you combine the shapes and you put an outline to it, then it makes something your face, like you will recognize. So the easiest way to draw something is to think about it in shapes. And so after that very first class, a couple classes, like when a bunch of 19-year-olds are in a room and somebody gets naked, everybody snickers. And like, even the adults in the class, like it's odd. You're not used to it. And so once you get that out of your system, you're like, I'm just drawing shapes. And then it's no big deal.
Were you a standout then? Like, was your stuff, cause you're in a class obviously with other artists.
Maybe a little bit in the top half of the class. I don't know if I was top
20. And was that like sketching or painting or?
This was a lot of drawing. Use a lot of charcoal and really cool exercises. You do fast, you do slow. You cover the paper in fully black charcoal and then all you do is erase. That's a cool one.
Oh, cool.
It's extremely messy.
That's similar to your style now.
All of this comes together. Like everything I've done in my art career.
I think it's so interesting how
plays into this.
Yeah, we were talking about something the other day where I was having you, I'm constantly asking you to do smoke and mirrors bullshit to like accommodate the content I'm trying to make. So like, I forget what it was the burn the boats thing, like trying to have you sketch something.
Yeah.
And you were like, well, I don't want to sketch it because it like would reveal how you sketch or something? Or like, so if I were to ask you to sketch a portrait, could you, like, cold?
I could, it wouldn't be great.
And so, like, do you choose not to because it wouldn't be, like, but you could probably figure it out.
I don't, yeah. I don't get enough of a benefit out of sketching. Like, if you were to hire me for your portrait, and I'm going to be painting off photographs anyway, I don't really gain a lot by sketching you first. Because when I, this is going to sound weird, when I stare at your face for 50 hours, I see everything. I see just as much, and obviously I know you, I try to meet my portrait subjects in person before I'm painting them, but I can zoom in, like I can see a lot of detail, and I can see more and more as I look at the photograph. So yes, it would be a good practice to stare at you in person for 5 hours and see the things that maybe the photograph can't pick up, but technology has gotten so good that the camera can probably see even more than my eyes can at this point. I almost revealed my age.
It's like, really interesting.
I'm still 29 for what the internet can consider as accurate.
Sure.
So yeah, I don't personally sketch. I've gotten really good at Photoshop. A lot of my ideas, the originality comes from Photoshopping different elements together to make it, like we were talking about Jason Tatum earlier, that image doesn't exist. Like no one's taken a photograph of Jason Tatum from that angle. It doesn't exist. I Photoshop that together, and that's why it's unique in every sense of the word. And I do that where I can, and sometimes it's not possible, but I'm using technology to my advantage to also work quicker and do a commission in 8 to 12 weeks and not 6 months or a year, however long they traditionally.
I think that's the thing that makes you so unique is how fast you can get commissions done. And also in 2025, you know, that's what people want. They want things done rapido. Like, I don't think your business, as a business, I don't think it would be responsible for you to take, and you do one at a time, right? Like, do you ever have multiples going on at the same time?
Only if it's a series like Arizona State Golf. It looks so cohesive because I did all the backgrounds at the same time. I was overlapping when I was getting down to the subjects, but the backgrounds, the foundation of the paintings, and can sometimes make or break the painting, oftentimes actually, was all done when I was in the groove. So everything's well balanced, it's spot on, like nothing was too repetitive. But back to watercolor.
Oh yeah.
This does lead into how I can paint quickly to a degree. Watercolor, like I said, it's like spinning plates and there's a size limitation. So it's really difficult. You won't see watercolor paintings larger than like 30 by 40 inches max. Most likely they're 16 by 20s. That's really small to me. And from a business standpoint, you can only put a certain price on a painting that's that big. It doesn't matter how long it takes you. People perceive the value of being, let's call it $2,000.
Yeah.
$3,000. And I was like, I want to work larger and I want to charge more. So how do I do that? Well, let's paint on canvas, but let's tweak it in a way that it acts like watercolor. Let's make the canvas less absorbent than if you buy it off the shelf. And let's dilute the acrylic paint to be like watercolor to where I'm working in these thin layers. So that's how I got to my style. And that's why it dries so fast. And I can do a commission fairly quickly is there's almost no texture of the painting. Like it's all just really thin layers of paint. Dries instantaneously. And
I didn't know that. Yeah. Oh, that's so do you water your paint down?
Initially, the backgrounds are diluted acrylic paint.
I think, so one of the things that I feel like I only very recently have, and I feel like I have been deep in your stuff very recently, I fully understood the background, like how significant starting with the background and how much of the background comes through in a painting. What was the painting that, that where this was like brought into full, we were in your studio and we, which one was it? That was
the Jimmy.
No, the swan where I was like looking at her hair and like I can't emphasize enough how I feel like you're not, if you're a fan of Kyle's, you're not doing yourself a service or you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't look really closely at the background and how you layer over the top. It's remarkable how you like, and the Cambiasso one too, because I don't know if I can reveal this, but like you had a background that you didn't, it didn't work, right? Yeah. And so you got rid of it because, which is crazy. I was like, can I have that? like when I say background, it's like this like color and it's like all these like crazy, like, but if it doesn't work, because you need the image, you need the background to be the foreground, right?
It's like an accessory that accents the piece. And so usually it works, but sometimes I just know, like, you can't put lipstick on a pig. Like, I know painting even like this jacked badass Cambiasso on top isn't going to hide what I would call mistakes in the background.
Well, because the proportions have to be, like, you can't fudge, like, how far Pierce Brosnan's eye is from his mouth. Like, it is how far it is, right?
Yeah. And a lot of it I have to cover up just because that's where something really important, like the eyes go, and I can't let too much show through or else it's going to take away from how it appears. But yeah, especially, it's all about composition. So I'm trying to minimize how much background you can see. Mm-hmm. I think it makes for a more interesting piece. There's more drama, but sometimes you can't get around it and you got to show a lot of background, like the Cambiasso piece. And so I knew with all this background showing, that background has to stand on its own. I can't cover it up. There's nothing to put there to hide it. All artists have their tricks. Oil painters can wipe it away. They can scrape it away. They'll cover it up with paint. Acrylics, you get to kind of paint on top because they're basically drying on you. So I do have my outs once in a while.
Can we talk about the Jimmy mistake?
Fine.
Yes.
I'm not perfect.
This is maybe my favorite.
As hard as I try.
My favorite, like, thing about Kyle Lux is how much of a perfectionist you are and how much you have agreed to be, like, because you're self-deprecating as hell too, which is so funny. Like, that's what makes you so charming and funny. And my job has been to expose, like, flaws and, like, expose. And I know that that's hard for you because you don't like making mistakes, which, not for nothing, is why your pieces are so significant. Like, you can't have a mistake in Serena's face because she's Serena Williams. Like, that's what's so interesting about how significant you are as an artist. Like, you're painting people who everybody knows. So if it doesn't look exactly like Jack Nicklaus, like, everybody knows his face, you know?
Yeah.
And it's remarkable how accurate. Like, I don't think I've seen, even your early work, I don't think I've seen a single painting where I've gone, like, that face is not entirely, you know, Ozzie Smith or, you know, whoever.
I'll show you a couple.
I just almost said Ozzy Osbourne. Do you have an Ozzy Osbourne?
No.
You know, we were talking about, this is, by the way, this is what I do. I love doing this to Kyle, where I'm like, you know what you should do? You know what you should paint? It's usually some atrocious idea. I stand by it. I think Taylor Swift, who's with me, I think Taylor Swift deserves a painting. Holly, if you hear me, someone needs to commission that from, I feel like you're holding out on that, right? Like, you won't need someone to commission it from you. You won't just do it on spec. Speculation.
I need a really good pitch. I need somebody to really sell me on their Taylor Swift idea.
I've given you like 10.
Well, it's not good enough.
I'm not
paying
for that.
Keep working.
I feel like the dream scenario for someone is, and I'm looking dead at the camera, not at you, because you've dismissed this so many times and I can't take another disappointment from you. Someone who has been to the Eras Tour with a friend, a mother, a daughter, a husband, a dad, love the Eras Tour and like their moment.
So we'll sidebar Jimmy and the mistake.
Oh, we're going to talk about Jimmy. Keep down this rabbit hole. We'll go back to, that was a cliffhanger.
So yes, it's a moment, which is funny because Jimmy is not a moment. I'm capturing moments because that's the heightened emotional connection that you get. Like, that's what makes you buy artwork. A lot of it, at least in my case, like, some people like abstracts because maybe that emotion is, it helps them quit thinking or it doesn't associate them with something or something. And it's a way to relax. But mine, because it's so specific, it's like, what do you associate with this person? And that's going to make you go back in your memory and your emotions and figure out why you connect so strongly to that. Maybe you love it or you hate it, but that's why I think people are buying this artwork, because with these athletes, especially like Messi, so many people have watched him play, especially down in Miami. That painting of him in his pink jersey can elicit so many memories. And if you get goosebumps from seeing my painting, that's a good sign that there's a connection there and you might want that on your wall to remind you of that, because what else do you have? Maybe some photographs, maybe they're on your phone, you never look at them again, but how many people actually have something tangible, a tangible memory that they can walk past every day? And so
it also creates I think your art does really well in high trafficked areas of homes or like offices, like office spaces, like whether it be your home office or a den or, because it's a talking point. Like the Messi is, you know, for like, I've told you this, but like we were, when they announced, that he might be coming to Miami, we bought season tickets like immediately. And then like come a year and a half later, that game was, that will be a core memory for my kids and I, like for the rest of their lives. And I mean, it was absolutely, but like you couldn't have written a, and there are moments in sports like that where you couldn't have written a bet. You could, if you had written it, it would be too much. You know, like there are certain moments in sports that I feel like you've captured so, so well that like are just too, like that messy first goal in Miami was like.
Yeah. So eras, moments, which obviously happens.
By the way.
I'm trying to get you out of this.
No, I have like 14 different rebuttals, but there's no way for me to do that without throwing the event. Okay. When you're building a business, which is what you've been doing, like you're an artist and like, we love you for that, but you also treat your business like a business. Your e-commerce platform is something that is, I don't think you talk about that enough at all. Like Kyle has like the most remarkable e-commerce platform where people can buy prints of his work. Like, so if you're a Messi fan, to your point, and you can't afford the $10,000 painting or however much it is now, the prints are available on your website, like kylelooks.com, which make an incredible gift. And I don't think people fully appreciate, or I don't think you talk about it enough, how hard it is, first of all, to build out an online store like you have. Talk about how your prints are not just like a digital download, like rinky dinky bullshit. Like it's, I mean, I remember when you and I first started working together, I ordered a print to see like what's what with the workflow and it came to the office. It's the hearts painting that's in the background of every single Zoom meeting that I do now. And when it arrived, it was so like the framing of it was so substantial.
Yeah, and that's something that's hard to communicate in this day and age when information's flying by so quickly. You know, you get 3 seconds to browse an Amazon page before you decide yes or no, I'm buying this product. Like wait till you get to something that's not Amazon that you're not as familiar with. And it's my website and trying to communicate that I'm selling the highest quality product, like print. Print is reproduction, giclée is a technical term that you can get. And it's professionally, it's custom framed. And because it's done, my printer has scale. It's very reasonably priced. Like,
but it's not your, so to clarify, it's not your printer, like in your like studio, it's like your printer, meaning the person or the company who prints your.
Right. I couldn't offer stretched canvas, frame canvas, framed paper prints, any of that in the sizing without using a professional facility. One of their biggest clients is like the largest art seller in the country of online sales. It's like, I'm in pretty good company. I'm a very small fish compared to this company, but that's great. Like that speaks to the quality of what they're putting out there and what I'm putting my name on, because it's no secret. Like I'm not touching your order. It's going straight from my printer, who I've in person, I've vetted. I check on every once in a while. I go up there and spot check and quality control, but for the most part, I'm trusting them to put out a great product so that you're getting your money's worth and it'll last for generations. And so it's the best stuff you can buy. And it just, anything you see online, it's if it's less than $100, it's probably on a cheaper paper that
you can tell.
Yeah. It doesn't have a texture. You like to joke about the term poster. Like what all of us know of as posters growing up, it's glossy, it's slick, it easily wrinkles, it rolls up in a tube. Like that's not what this is. It's fine art paper. It's got some weight to it. It's light resistant. The inks are pigments. It's like, it's
technical. Beautiful.
It's beautiful. And I think the hurdle is just spreading that word and making people realize the value that, they're going to get something that's going to last a lot longer.
It's really hard to communicate that digitally. Like in this day and age, like your stuff could be in stores. You know, there are a handful of retail operations that have sold your prints, and your pop-up shops that, you know, like at USPC. What's USPC? USPA. Polo Association.
NPC versus USPA.
Yeah. Yeah. United States Polo Association, like that collaboration was remarkable and they put one of your prints on a canvas bag and it was beautiful. But I think with your prints in particular and with the art hang that you can order, you really have to see the quality of it to appreciate it. And this is something that you and I have gone around and around on. Like, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense for your, you know, business to be on a different e-commerce platform or whatnot. And I think the takeaway is more that we're even talking about the business that you have as an artist.
Yeah.
Like your business is, it's like three different things. It's like you're, and I know you hate this, but you are an influencer. Like you're a true like socialite influencer. You get invited to more things than I do. And it really fucking bothers me. Just kidding. So you're an influencer here locally. And I would argue nationally, you're an artist that, and I would not, I would say that it's not in this order. I think the order is you're first and foremost an artist of original commissioned paintings, right? Like you get freaky with people saying, I was at this game. Can you paint this Kobe for me and my dad? Like that's right. That's what you, is that fair?
Yeah. And even most recently being commissioned by a major sports league to, you know, they had a massive occasion to gift a painting to an athlete and they chose me. It's like,
it's a big deal.
That's a big deal for me growing up a sports artist. So yeah, the originals are where I want to dedicate most of my time and selling the prints and selling at a price that I would hope as many people as possible could afford allows me to do more of the commissions and keep the lights on and pay the bills. It's like, it's not sexy when you talk about the business of it, of being an artist, but that's,
I think it's sexy. I love talking about shit. I can talk about it all day.
It has to be done.
It's so interesting.
And I want as many people to interact with my art as possible. With the commissions, with the originals, the price is getting up there for a lot of people that don't know the value of original fine art. Like I get that. Some people, it's not high enough. It's like, oh, you're not charging at least 50,000. My collection's only six figures and up. Call me when you're more expensive. Like I can add a zero. We can get there pretty quickly.
So
but they think they know what they want and they want different type of art. That's fine. But there's this interesting spot in the middle. It's like, all right, I want to get it out there to all these people. And so that's what I'm working through and we're working through.
Your originals are not though, like chump change. Like, please, how much did you just sell that Trump piece for? Tell the people. Are we allowed to share that?
Almost 15,000.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Like for something you made with your hands. That's really
cool. Yeah, and it is.
That's it's cool.
It's really
you created
cool.
it.
And it's all the experiences that led up to this. So the family influence, all the support from my friends and teachers and everybody along the way and getting to this point and mentors and like, don't use this paint, use this brand and do this. And fellow artists inspiring me to maybe get up a little earlier and, you know, stretch canvas versus buying it off the rack. And like, that's an actual example. I had a friend go to art school. Like her and I were, we were considered the artists. We were two of the better artists in our class, but she went the art school route and I went the business school route. And we met up after college and I was complaining about a piece taking a couple of days to get off the ground. I was like, I got to order the canvas and do all this. And next thing I know, it's 4 days later. And I've lost my inspiration. She's like, what are you talking about? Like, go stretch your own. It takes a half an hour. And that was the mindset of someone who just lived in an art studio for 4 years. And that's what you get out of art school.
Did you even know you could do that?
I knew it was a thing, but I didn't think it was practical. And then, so that changed the whole game. Like my style is the way it is, partly because I stretch my own canvas and I prime my own canvas. So that's all the little nuances of what I do. And every artist is different in the way they interact with their own materials. So that's part of it. And so, the culmination of all these experiences and failures and successes that got me to the point where I could sell a 4x4.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky. And I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you got to do is purchase a $10 coin pack. And guess what? They're going to give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild. And we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Foot painting for almost $15,000 is pretty cool.
And if I asked you to paint something on, it's cool as hell. It's so cool. And it's so cool to see you. Like one of my favorite things is being in your studio and watching you paint. And I know that like sometimes I get super annoying with it, like having you repaint the same thing, like the same. I remember the other day you were like, I was recording you doing some kind of content and I was trying to get different angles and you were like, all right, I can only paint over this spot one more time before I really fuck up this painting.
Yeah.
But I think it's remarkable how detailed you are with your paintbrush. That is like, it's mind blowing watching you. And then also how fast you work in like the detail sections too. It's like joke about this a lot, but it is the best party trick I feel like ever. Like just being able to create something from nothing is just remarkable. Anyway, where was I headed with that? If I were to ask you to if I had like a dollar store piece of canvas and I asked you to paint like a picture of Michael Jordan, could you do it on canvas that you didn't know was your canvas?
Oh yeah. I've painted on different canvases. And so I just know that I have to tweak my technique a bit.
Like, would you be able to tell how, like if I asked like Rafa Nadal to play with a different tennis racket, is it like that where you would have to make adjustments?
100%. And that's a great, I love cooking and sports metaphors to explain my work. So 100%, the smallest tweak, so the weight of a racket or how much air is in a basketball, like Steph Curry has it down to almost a science. He's so good. And like the weight of the ball will impact. It's like, he'll be pregame. Like, nope, not enough air. Like this one's perfect. And so, you know, it without even really, it's become second nature. So with brushes, with the amount of paint, and it really goes back to watercolor, because watercolor has to be more fine tuned, I feel like, than acrylic or oil.
There's, oh really?
Yeah. Because,
like calibrate it, like the ratio?
You have to dilute all of the pigment. Like it comes in a basically toothpaste tube. And you see the little squares, like the little, not
yeah,
squares.
Yeah, I'm picturing like a.
Yeah, you see the pans. Yeah. I think they're called pans. And so that's what we use as kids. And so it's dried pigment. And so you take your brush, you dip it in water, and then you swirl it around, right? The professional way to do it is to take a little, what looks like a toothpaste tube, but smaller and same consistency as toothpaste. You have to dilute that.
Oh,
and there's an infinite degree spectrum to dilute it, right? And so it's like, that's what I learned from these professionals, these Australians that put out DVDs and books, is you have different consistencies. You have water, you have tea, you have milk, you have cream, you have honey, right? And it's like, this is how you're going to paint this technique. You're going to use milk for this part and then the cream consistency. And it's crazy, but the only way to get better at it is practice, practice, practice. And so when I, using my technique, it's kind of like that. I can build up to be really thick and come straight out of the tube. So when I know I'm using canvas that isn't as forgiving, it's less absorbent, I have to use less water. I won't let it drip. I know if I use water, it's going to drip more and it's just going to be more like watercolor and be harder to control. So I'll use thicker paint. And yeah, it's, I've done it before. I've done it live painting. Like people supply the same canvas, all the artists. So you're starting at the same playing field. That makes sense. But I just have to adapt. And that's why I prefer.
So you paint from, images, right? Like you'll Photoshop together. What do you call it? If someone is commissioning a painting from you, what is it? I always get this wrong. The word you give back to them. Is it the render? No.
Oh, the comp.
Yeah. What is
it? So short for composition.
Yeah.
You could also call it a design. Like I can give you three designs to choose from, but I would call them comps. Because I might want to use design for something else. Like what's the design of this?
And that's like, so if I'm commissioning the Taylor Swift, one of your, huge, I swear to God,
totally hypothetical scenario.
This podcast had better turn into 10 Taylor Swift commissions. I'm telling you, cause I feel like you would just crush it. So, cause she had all the different costumes. There's so much movement. Like it's prime for you. Anyway. So if I want Taylor in the Slytherin era, Reputation era, doing this, that, and the other thing. And then you would give me back like three different ideas that you have that you think would be fire, right?
Yeah. So there's an initiation phase. Like we're going to talk about your idea and the inspiration. And it's almost like an interview. It's casually talking about why, like, why do you want this? And where's it going to go? And how big? And tell me about the experience and glean something from it that you may not know you're telling me about, because I will put that into the painting somehow, either literally and you'll see it, or I just know it's going to go into what inspires me.
This conversation's fun.
Oh my God. It's the essence of being a portrait artist. Like when I'm being commissioned, I'm bringing your idea to life. I have to know as much as I can about the inspiration. And
I feel like you would get like giddy if someone brought something to the table that was like something you had never heard of before, like historically that you're like,
oh yeah. I had a good example of something like that. It might've been Roosevelt and the Man in the Arena. I think it was something even more obscure than that. But that's why I like learning about history. It's like, whoa, that person did this. And that's why we have this thing. And
I feel like you told me about something recently that was like that. Where yeah, like, did you know that?
There's so much of that going on in my head. I can't keep it all straight. So I keep notes and I'd have to look back at it. It might have been with the Kennedys. But either way, I love that process. I love being entrusted to bring that idea to life. And so my objective is to always exceed that mark. Like, you think you're getting this, but I'm going to make it 20% better than what you can possibly imagine.
Rick Ross's real name?
William Roberts II.
Right. Yeah.
And so there's obvious creative ideas. Like, we talked about that with audio earlier. It's like, yeah, that's the obvious choice. But is it the most creative? No. It's still creative. There's an element to it. It's like, okay, that's kind of creative, but that's like a 1 out of 5 on the spectrum.
Well, I think you also know what you're doing. Like the Coco Gauff painting, right? So I would say very obviously the goal with when you're painting these, you know, very famous people would be for them to buy it from you, ideally, right? Like, is that, would you say that's the goal?
That's a goal. It's not the expectation.
That's a good way of saying it. Yeah. So with the Coco one, having the, like I feel like from a business perspective, you do such a good job of building elements in that are highly marketable. And I don't think that your creative process, like the integrity of the creativity of it is, like, I would say this is maybe 1% of what you're thinking of, but you are thinking it, and I know you are, and it's smart. It's brilliant. Like, I remember you learned that the trophy for the US Open, so Coco Gauff wins the US Open. She's holding up you tell it. It's your story, not mine. the Lombardi trophy.
She's holding up this iconic sterling silver trophy, and a lot of sports have that. And so it becomes a logo. It's, you know, all the photographs, it's in all the ceremonies. And through the research, found out that Tiffany makes it. Like, of course, you know, it's like they're the standard for the most precious jewelry and trophies on the market. The Lombardi trophy, also made by Tiffany. So it just makes sense. It's like, that's, but I'm not a Tiffany collector. I wouldn't know that by being close to the Tiffany brand, but that was a really cool element from the sports world.
Yeah.
So that goes into the story. Tiffany's not in the painting. There's no logo or anything on the trophy, but it ties in and helps it be that much more impactful, because sometimes you have to, a lot of times I would say, you have to educate the average person on the idea. So someone might be a huge Coco fan, but even they may not know the significance of Tiffany, even if they're wearing Tiffany. Like, so not everybody knows everything about a painting. And so that's part of my challenge that I love doing, is like, how can I make this more interesting and something that you can't all comprehend right away?
I think your art also speaks to people that are like that, like the Kennedys, the Jackie Kennedy pieces, and like the significance of like Adrian Worth, and the sticking in the Coco example, the significance of having Billie Jean King in the reflection and like that moment. And it's funny because to the naked eye, you would think like, oh yeah, it makes sense that Billie Jean King was there because she was, you know, involved in the US Open, but there was such a bigger moment at play there.
Yeah. And that's back how that ties into the comps. I had a few different ideas for that, and this was not a commission. So I had free reign to do whatever I wanted. And I wanted to play with the idea of reflections. I'd done it in glasses. Like, how can I tell the story through a reflection? She's not wearing sunglasses. So what is it? Okay. It's this gorgeous trophy. And I ended up on the one I did, but yeah, researching Billie Jean King, I'm trying to make it so that the world has never seen it. And I think as artists, I can't speak for everybody, but that's what we're going for. That's original. It's an idea that no one's ever seen. It's unique to us. And so I'm piecing together different parts of this story to make one that's my own and one single rectangle. And so when you commission something, that's why I'm asking about everything that was going on, because you might say, I took this photograph of her, paint this photo. Like, okay, there's some background to play with. There's some other elements I can put in a spot varnish. Like, I can go beyond your own photo. Or maybe it's a photo you saw someone else take. It's like, okay, that's a good jumping off point. That's a phenomenal angle that you couldn't get because you're in a different section, but she's looking this way and all of that. Like, sometimes you can't argue with a phenomenal photograph, but I still want to make it my own, our own, if you're commissioning it. And then you get approval of that comp. And then I go through the process, and then there are a few pleasant surprises, happy accidents, like Bob Ross would say, because it's an art, it's paint, it's fluid, and you can't control the whole thing. So
I love the idea of attending an event with someone, and then like your recreation is the vantage point of, you know, like the concert that was, you know, the last, like I was talking to someone the other day who like the last concert they went to was like a Justin Timberlake. And I was like, oh my God, you need to reach out to Kyle. Like your ability to paint, it's like so cool that that's what you do. People's most emotional, raw, real memories, sports, entertainment, pop culture, their core memories that people, a lot of people have with their own family is when you're mutually excited and mutually sharing an interest, which is kind of what you bring to life, like a mutually shared thing. Like for me with my dad, it's like Bruce Springsteen. Like he's like, I brought him up earlier actually, because I was just talking to my dad about it. And like, there's so much that like I would think of with like a Bruce Springsteen song that would, my dad, right? Going back to your mistake with Jimmy Buffett. See what I did there?
I thought you were gonna forget. Speaking of musicians.
This is so funny.
Are we out of time yet?
This is so funny to me because it just doesn't happen with, and I just feel like it speaks so much to your soul. I think you should have left it because it's how you remembered it. Like, and so it's, so give the people the TLDR.
Okay. My painting of Jimmy Buffett, we've talked about painting moments and this was
just available, by the way.
Yeah. Thanks for the plug. This was about painting a kind of a whole personality, like a persona and not just one moment, kind of like the Rick Ross. Like it's a persona that's not one moment in time, also available. So
don't buy my Rick Ross.
Yeah, you gotta fight Holly for him.
I need you to stop increasing, like the better you get, the less I'm able to buy Rick Ross. Devastating.
Yes.
When you sold Trump for 15 grand, I was like, fuck. And I'm also accidentally making this Rick Ross thing relevant because
it's a good sign. That's why you buy it now. Keeps, and it goes up.
Listen, Rick Ross keeps retweeting or reposting our videos of him, and I need him to knock that shit off. Even though it's exciting every time it's so exciting every time it happens because he has like a bajillion followers.
Yeah.
But every time it happens, I'm like, I am building equity in this painting.
Yeah. You're earning it.
Back to Jimmy Buffett. You're not.
So Jimmy is, it's telling the story of him as an artist. And so I've pieced together a ton of symbols. The t-shirt's not what he was wearing in the original photograph. I changed the guitar and the guitar strap and the background and all this stuff. And I was really excited about my signature element on the top of the painting, which I still don't think anybody else has done. And if they want to copy me, fine. But I really like the spot varnish that is not visible right away. And it's perfectly discreet. You walk back and forth and you can see it. So I was pumped that I was going to really be able to go ham on the spot varnish because I've done song lyrics before. And that's when it's really cool is like when there's a really intricate spot varnish and you have to move around to see it and read it. So the spot varnish was going to tie into this favorite song that he wrote. And that's according to a video that he was on. So I'm not making this up. And he might have changed his mind at some point. But at the time he said 12 Volt Man was his favorite song that he wrote. And I can relate to that as an artist. Like people want to ask what my favorite painting is and it might change by the month or the year. I have a short answer.
What is it?
My Lincoln, my first Abraham Lincoln's my short answer.
The Honest Abe one?
No, the assassinated presidents, Abe. And which is interesting because it doesn't have any color. It's just black and white, but it was a deep idea and it was earlier on in the spot varnish exploration and it was my highest selling painting. Like it set a new record. So I've really felt appreciated. Like someone is valuing my time. It's almost all time. The materials pale in comparison to the value of the work and the time that's really making up for all of that. So anyway, a history buff saw the Lincolns like, yeah, I'll pay you what you're asking for. Didn't try and negotiate. None of that. Like good job. It's worth thousands of dollars. So that one is a real feather in my cap. I love the Lincoln. It was my business card for the longest time. So with Jimmy, I was like, I can relate to him choosing his favorite song, something that meant more to him than the others for multiple reasons, whatever he was going through at that time of his life. Like there's a lot of stuff that plays into what artists create and why.
I think it's really cool that you, and it's worth pointing out, sorry, I'm interrupting it, that you don't, that the integrity of the history and the integrity of that fun fact, like I can imagine that even though you kind of just dismiss it, you were like, well, it was in a video that he said, like, I know that you researched that up and down to make sure that that is accurate, that you're not painting words in someone's mouth.
Yeah.
And I think you do such a good job of that. Like such a good job. Like the integrity of like the license plate and the Rolex and the like everything you do is like that. It's really cool.
So the Jimmy was the historical accuracy, which you talked about a lot. Like there's no fudging details to make a better story. Like I'm to a fault, like too honest.
Yeah.
Like, I can't tell a story in an interesting way because I want to get all the facts right. It's like, no, you need to embellish a bit. Like that's storytelling, right? Look at Hollywood. They're embellishing even based on true stories. Like it's based on a true story because the original is not quite entertaining enough for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm going to do Jimmy right. I'm going to get every detail of this accurately. I'm going to tell his story. So when it came down to spot varnish, the line in the song is, and he's a storyteller. That's
fun getting this right.
Yeah. Can I get it right this time? The theme of the painting is Jimmy is a storyteller. He's an artist. He's a songwriter at heart. And he just happened to be able to sing his own songs. So the title is Jimmy Buffett, the Storyteller. And so I thought this is perfect. In his song, he writes, ask for some palm trees or tales from the South Seas. And I just might turn your head. And it's like, that's great. He's like,
wait, say it again.
Ask for some palm trees or tales from the South Seas, and I just might turn your head. So it's like, ask for a story, and I'm going to write you a pretty compelling story. I'm going to get your attention with what I write. And I do the spot varnish. There's no going back on it for the most part. It's a pain in the ass to try to fix one of these. And so I try to never screw up. And after we had captured it, videos, like everything,
we were under the gun too, because you were artist in residence.
Yeah.
Palm Beach Historical Society.
What was it where, was it me? I finally, like, I think I took a video. It was hanging in my house. I could see the spot varnish clear as day, every day the sun's out.
I think it was because you were writing the description.
That might have been it. So I had to revisit the song lyrics, writing it down, and
I triple checked for the society. Yeah.
I triple checked. I'm like, holy shit. That's not what I put on the spot varnish. And I got one word wrong. So it's ask for some palm trees or tales from the South Seas. I had it as tales of the South Seas because in my head that sounded better.
Yeah.
And you were all for it. You're like, keep it. Sounds great to me. Like,
I think there was such a story there.
Let's roll with it.
Because everyone remembers a song lyric how they remember it. Like, if it plays in your head like that, that's your, yeah. Like, there's such a great story there.
But I think it was for the wrong reasons. Like,
If I had
said, like, I saw Jimmy live with my parents for the first time, I remember this, like, it was yesterday, Tales of the South Seas. Stronger argument.
That's true.
But and because I looked it up.
Well, and I do respect that.
I just got it wrong. It's like, it was a very human mistake. I was like, but that's the issue. And so I had to fix that line.
I respect so much also that you, when I was pitching you the idea, because I know you were so stressed out at that time too. Not stress isn't the right word, but there were so many moving parts of being the artist in residence. Like how many originals did you have there?
Opening night. There were 11 originals on display.
A lot of Kyle Lux paintings.
Yeah.
And like the lighting had to be, anyway, 11, everything had to be
12.
Right. And like all the descriptions, all the signage, and it was also right when we had started working with you. So it was a lot of onboarding us on like the details of your, anyway, I respect so much how you, you wouldn't allow for, to your point, because it wasn't authentically. Like I was like, we can spin this into a story that you like, that's how you remembered the lyric. Like I stand by that. I love that. But it's not how you remembered it. Like you did actually look it up and like, you know, you genuinely got it wrong.
And part of that is,
I just remember you being like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
And it was good. Actually, it was a really good learning process for you to like challenge me on something and learn what I'm willing to give on a little bit and like, absolutely not. And again, back to like, I can't speak for every artist, but I want my work to outlive myself for one, but like if it ends up in a museum someday, or at the very least get passed down through generations and like the bratty grandkids don't throw out this painting because they don't know who Jimmy Buffett is. It's like, learn about it. There's a story. Now we have internet. It's going to live online, hopefully forever. Yeah. But I won't be able to defend the painting.
Yeah. Even beyond, if you had taken my like narrative of it, yeah, it's like, not it authentic.
It gets posted on a Parrothead forum tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the real enthusiasts, the real Parrotheads, be like, that's not the right line. Like, he fucked up on that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not there to defend it. I can't spin that story. I can't tell them, well, that's how I heard it. Like, well, you're a moron.
Yeah.
So
that's what my PR company said. Yeah.
Like, well, Holly said, like, who's Holly? Yeah. So that's, it's like, I want to be able to stand on its own, whether or not I can describe it. And I get it. A lot of my paintings do need a description, but if it's not there, then hopefully it's still detailed enough and interesting enough where it doesn't need the description, but it would help. And so I just, yeah, it's like
in 100, you're not a sellout.
In 100 years, I want it to be accurate.
You are not a sellout. I love that, that you also, like when people pitch you things, mostly me, you won't paint things that you don't feel. It's funny. Like you said something the other day, we were talking about Michael Jordan, I think, or someone like that, like someone significant. Do you remember who it was?
I think it was either Jordan or Kobe.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, where, like you hadn't had the emotional connection yet to a specific, obviously everyone has an emotional connection to Michael Jordan, he's MJ, right? But like you, because you, he wasn't like your guy, it would have felt like you painting, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but like, I feel like you won't paint him yet because it'll feel like you're just doing it for the money or like to sell it.
I have a gangster Jordan idea. I just haven't found a way to pull it off yet. So,
you're like, no, I'll do it for the money.
Yeah.
But just, I'm not.
No. So it's one of those where I don't have to, I'm not waiting to be commissioned for a Jordan. I have the idea. This is a great example of one of my thousands of ideas that I just haven't gotten around to yet. Cause I haven't sat down for a day or days to work out the comp in a way that I can get it because, the visual doesn't exist yet. Like it'd be like the Tatum painting. I'd have to create it.
And, but I mean more like you won't do Jordan unless it's that idea. Like there's a reason.
Yeah. I'm not going to agree to do a Jordan without really, you could commission one. It's like, you better sell me on it. And that's part of it. Like you're bringing the emotion.
Yeah.
And I'll buy into it. But
what's your Jordan idea?
So it's, this is, I really like this idea. I get excited about it because it ties into pop culture. It's, is it Jay-Z? Is his line about Michael Jackson, Tyson, Jordan, Game 6.
Yeah.
It's Jordan Game 6 where he pushes off Byron Russell on the Jazz and sinks that three-pointer.
Okay.
It's so iconic. It's amazing. I get goosebumps talking about it, right? And like, if you get goosebumps inside,
I don't even really follow that one. I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's that significant that it's in a rap lyric from one of the greatest rappers ever. And everybody knows, people that know, right? It's like, yes, those are the greats. And for him to say game six, it's like, okay, Jay-Z gets it. Yeah. I really hope it's Jay-Z.
I think it is. Can we look it up? Because I don't want this to be wrong. Look it up.
I don't have my phone on me.
We'll take a knee if it's not.
Tyson Jordan. I'm 99.
Oh my God. Wait, say it, wrap it again.
It's Michael. Go Michael Jackson, Tyson, Jordan, game six. I'm going to get right back in this position.
Kanye? I feel like my gut says that it's actually Kanye.
But I think it's Jay-Z. And I'm not trying to dance around saying Kanye.
I am. Are you kidding me? Hi, PR. I am. It's definitely not Diddy.
Right. Yeah. I'm over here getting pumped about Diddy lyrics.
Oh my God.
Don't take that out of context either. like that.
I have the best soundbite from you talking about, yes, the Diddy PJ when we were talking about the Rick Ross PJ.
All right. Here it is. Thank God. Okay. It is Jay-Z.
Is it Dirt Off Your Shoulder? When does he say
that? No, it's In Words in Paris.
Okay. Yeah.
But
yes.
Yeah. Look how cool AI tells me that song, the song title.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Right. So yes, Kanye is on that track, but Jay-Z says it. And that's part of what I'd like. I'm painting pop culture, like all of that, just, it all runs together. So I listened to that.
Sick painting.
So I think it's going to be an awesome painting. It's not something I've seen really done. If you scour enough the internet, you're probably going to find somebody doing a
yeah,
a crayon drawing of this or something, or something, or it could be digitally painted, right? And I can spot those pretty easily. Like, my style can be done digitally, but it's a little too clean. Like, I can,
yeah,
you see that a lot on Etsy and Fiverr and like, so red flag out there. If you're getting, if you're getting artwork, like, it can look cool if it looks too clean and like to the untrained eye, like, you're going to see stuff on Amazon. It's like, that's amazing. It's only $25. Like, what, that, no one painted that. It's a really good digital rendering. And if that's what you want, great, but you don't buy it because you think it's like fine art.
I think though that is the gateway to wanting, like, me fresh out of college, bartender through school. Let's say I was opening my first office. I might try to digitally download something and put it on the wall.
Yeah.
But me now, fast forward 10 years, who can maybe afford a Rick Ross painting?
Maybe.
So, like, it's a good gateway.
Yeah. Into, you got to start, you know, somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's, I do like my cooking metaphors. Like, yes, you have to build up your taste, you build up your budget. But once you appreciate the finer things and you know the quality, it's like, oh, okay, well, there's no turning back. Like,
because I think the people that resonates with, though, like, the Rick Ross lyrics that are on, like, that style would resonate. Like, that's the same customer. It's just a different income bracket.
Yeah.
You know, I'm obsessed with the, and this is what's so cool about what you can do with, you know, the Kobe moment where I forget who it is, but is inbounding a ball and he like doesn't flinch and he's just like, stand, do you know what I'm talking about? Like that video of him just not moving at all. Oh my God, I feel like that needs to be on a painting. Like, not even, yeah, like, just
have the ball.
Yeah.
Right in front of his face. He's just staring at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Or have like the motion, like him be completely still and the motion is there on the other side, but he's just like ice in his veins, you know?
Add it to the Holly commission list that.
Listen, I'm giving the people ideas how I can do all these things. What I think the thing that is hard to communicate in your social media and in all the marketing and advertising is that if you have a moment like that, that feels really cool to you and you have the budget, that you can make that come to life. Like, I feel like half the really cool stuff that you paint, like the one that we're not allowed to talk about that I keep having to cut out of videos of the, can I say the school?
Yeah.
There's a very cool Notre Dame painting that Kyle was commissioned to do and we're not allowed to show it anywhere, which is super annoying, but there's so much symbolism and so much history and so much story in this painting. Anyway, I feel like now also as millennials get older and as watching sports like in high def gets, like I mentioned the other day, like a Ronaldo moment in the World Cup would be cool, you know, for someone, or like the Zidane, like him like headbutting, like where were you when Zidane headbutted that guy like in the World Cup, you know?
Yeah, and to that point with soccer, it's so huge around the world. I have a collector in Croatia.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I didn't realize, like, it was summer of 2018, World Cup, and the underdog was Croatia,
yeah,
and they made it pretty far. It's like, wow. So.
Luka, right? Modric? No.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Mandzukic. Or Mandzukic, but that's who I painted. Like, two of the three paintings were of him, or all three.
Are those on your website?
Not by the same collector. I think one of them is, at least one of them.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show, like, anything can mean something to somebody. Like, but to have that person, like, to see from that small country and to have their football team get that far in the World Cup, yeah, somebody was like, this may not happen again in my lifetime. I see the value in capturing these moments and this particular player holding the flag and representing the country and like all of that. It's like, yeah, for whatever it was, $5,000, like have that on the wall. And I get it. A lot of people don't have that budget, but when you think about it in a way that you're going to have this hopefully beyond your lifetime, it starts to really like lessen the impact, like the sticker shock.
Yeah.
It's kind of the argument of like, you should be sleeping on the most expensive mattress that you possibly afford, because how much of your life do you spend on that mattress? Like,
that's a good point.
People spend $50,000-$100,000 on cars that they have for 10 years. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But you won't buy a painting for $5,000 that's going to last a lot longer. I get it. It's not apples to apples. There's different utility.
Yeah.
Your car can get you places really fast and can carry your four kids and all this stuff. Your painting can't do that. But the arts is necessary. There's so much benefit to having things you like on your walls. You need to have something, or you're just an animal living in a the most minimalist house ever. So there's a reason why there are interior designers and decorators and artists. It's like, that's what creates a home. So it's nice to have something that you appreciate, and it's not fast fashion. It's not something like, yeah, go spend $100 at Target. There's a time and a place for that if you need to. But just understand that what you're spending $100 on at Target, someone made for five.
Yeah.
And it's not that great of quality. You're not going to probably move it with you. Like, great. If it serves a purpose for 5 years, I'm guilty. I have a lot of stuff that I fall into that trap for. And I'm completely biased when I'm saying invest in good quality work.
I think it's so interesting how much education goes into that. Like, I was one of those like home goods, browse the canvas, you know, the like mounted canvas, whatever.
Yeah.
Like I have in my house, and actually it's funny, after working with you, I've fully taken every single one of them down, because I'm now looking at them like from an education perspective. Like I had no idea how obvious it was, how like cheap this shit is. And like, I don't live in like a mega mansion, but my house is decent.
Yeah.
And like, I have something on the wall that was like very obviously a $99 home goods print job.
Yeah. And I get it. I can't even afford my own work. But I'm one of those, like, I will spend so much of my time on something that I want to be done the way I want it. Like, I've built furniture, built my own bed. Like, I spent an absorbent amount of time. My bed probably cost thousands of dollars of my time, yeah. But I could have bought a very good design equivalent for like $1,000. But I look at a bed frame for $1,000. I'm like, that's absurd. I get it. A lot of artwork. Also, it's like a hard, if you're gonna spend that money, you want to find something that really speaks to you. And that's not the easiest thing in the world.
I think that's the biggest
That's a hard,
thing.
Like, we're all solopreneurs for the most part, and exposure is the hardest part. It's like, how do you, there's that perfect piece out there for something you can afford by an artist that lives down the street, but you just don't know who they are. You can't find them. We're getting better with technology, but it's a long way to go. And so it's much easier to go to Home Goods.
I think one thing that working with you has really, like, and it's funny when I talk about the art that I have on my own walls at home, like that is, you know, it being like cheap or, you know, whatever. It's not like, it's from an education perspective. It's not that, it's more like I just didn't think that it was an option to go and buy real original art. Like, I would have never, like, I didn't come from a household that had art, and I've never been exposed to people. Well, actually, I mean, I saw a lot of high-end real estate, but like,
yeah.
Like I didn't even think of it as like an option. And what's interesting is our area has so many, not even our area, like just working with you has exposed me to so many opportunities to buy art. There's so many art shows. And like so many community opportunities to see people's art and to buy people's art. And I think it's one of those things that the community, if you're not an art person or an arts person, you kind of gloss over it. Like, if you're not into like car races, you might completely mute NASCAR, Formula One. But if you're into it, it's like, that's all you see on, you know, the lead up to Formula One. Like this, and I'm saying that because this past year I was super dialed into Formula One stuff because of you and my guy, Max Verstappen, who I'm obsessed with. But I previously it was like, oh, that's a cool event to go to at the Hard Rock. And also like Formula One reminds me of growing up, but like I just muted it, you know? And I think anyone in any community, like there's so much, if you go to Art de Gras and you like browse around, there's so much art that you can buy for inexpensive, you know, and support an artist. But more importantly, like zhuzh your house up a little bit.
Yeah.
Some original art.
And get the story, like anything I can't touch on enough is that's a lot of the connection to it. So you might get something that looks just like the piece in Home Goods. I'll say it's an abstract that or non-objective. It's colors. There's nothing. There's no object. There's no subject.
That's all mine are, and it's like some kind of like foil, gold foil thing. Like I feel like the Home Goods always gets me with the gold foil. Like the stupid gold. It's funny because you just painted this Rick Ross ancillary piece for me that has rose gold, and I'm like, oh, that's an original.
So there's an artist, and there's an artist that probably paints like what you have. But for a little bit more money, you can meet the person who's doing it and get the background. What's their inspiration? What's their education? Where do they live? Where do they hang out? Like, how did they do this? How long did it take? Those are common questions, especially how long does something take? And so when you have it on your wall and you're seeing it every day or whenever it is, like that's all part of it, whether it's conscious or subconscious, it's going to make you feel better. And when you have friends and family over, it's like, oh, it's a cool painting. Where'd you get that? How long has that been there? That wasn't here last time. You're naturally going to talk about it and you're going to feel better. You're going to, it's just like it's a cycle that keeps rewarding you.
It is rewarding.
Yeah, it is. And so if you can do it, but you have to, I get it. Most people don't, they're not exposed to environments that can teach them the value of art.
Yeah.
I grew up in that family, so I get it. My house is all of my work. It's kind of my gallery for people to come over and see and have meetings about commissions and all of that.
Yeah, that's where you meet. Okay, so you, this always trips me out when I see an email from you and you're like, would you like to meet at my home studio? And okay, so your studio is in your home and your home is in your studio. And every time you word, I know what you're doing here. You're like disclosing that, like, if I say studio, I have to say you're coming to my house.
Right.
And also if I say house, I have to disclose that like my intention is not to have you over.
Yeah, exactly. And
it cracks me up every time you do that.
So I double down that because
especially if it's to like a woman too, like I can see exactly what you're
Oh yeah.
You do have a great studio though.
If you ever see me leave out the word studio, you know, it's up. So I won't let you read those emails. but I had this was back like when, I think the Coco story was peaking and I got a knock on my door and it was someone from the news station that was coming to record in my studio. And this is totally why I emphasized the home studio part, because he came knocking on my blue house and he's like, is Kyle here? I'm like, who else would be here? He's like, oh, I thought I was like going to an actual art studio. I'm like, yeah, it's inside. It's,
it's my house. Also,
I live here.
My bedroom.
Yeah. Sometimes it's the entire house is taken over.
It's so funny when you'll say, like, I'll ask you like, what did I ask you? About Max for Steven. I was like, where is that painting? Meaning I'm asking, is it physically here? Like if we sell it, is it physically in your possession? And you were like, yeah, it's on my bedroom wall. And which to me means like Holly, you didn't see it last time you were over. Cause we obviously didn't go into your bedroom but like your bedroom has like messy and like,
yeah. Yeah. The whole house and it's not off limits, but
only so much wall space. Your paintings are also very large.
Yeah, it takes up space pretty quickly. And I try to rotate, but again, like I want it to be the experience that when someone comes over, they're not just seeing five black and white paintings. It's, here's something with a spot bar, here's something without, here's a black and white, here's an equestrian. Now I'm not trying to dilute myself. I do paint a number of subjects. They're basically all portraits. So, but it's like, this is me. This is what you're commissioning. Like, this is who you're commissioning from. This is what I can bring to the table. Maybe it sparks an idea.
Well, I think it's super productive too, because your art, you need to see your art in person to really appreciate what it is you're commissioning. And also what you're going to, like, if someone's commissioning something that has, like one of the Hermes scarves, like, cause you just did a private commission on one of those. Right. So I would really probably want to see one of those in person if I'm, you know, writing you a check for $10,000, but I would also want to see it next to one of your other originals to see if that's maybe what I would want instead.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I get it. It is not the easiest process because I'm guessing most people, you know, if I put your feet to the fire, it's like you get one commission right now. Tell me what it is. You might.
Is that a question for me?
Well, it's all hypothetical. I'm not on the record for this, but. And because I didn't want to put you on the spot because I'm going to ask you this in a way that you might not want to answer on the air. So you might knee-jerk reaction say Taylor Swift and say eras, certain era, this, I know exactly where I was, exactly what I want. I've been waiting for someone to ask me for an opening commission. But I'd be like, well, why not your family? Why not your beautiful kids and your cool ass husband? Like, why don't you want a portrait of them? And so like, it can be hard,
that's
right?
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know that I would have ever even considered them an option.
Sorry, guys. You heard it here.
Sorry. Maybe the daughter. Maybe I'd have you paint her.
Yeah, let's just single out the daughter. Sorry, boys. So that's the conundrum. It's like, so I gave the commission I just did for my collector. It took a while for her to figure out what she wanted. We started this conversation a while back. I was like, all right, I know I want to commission something, but I'm not convinced yet, but let's work back and forth. And do you have some ideas and blah, blah, blah. And then finally these Hermes scarves come out and she's like, bingo, I got it. So
those are so cool.
So it does help to see it, but there's an educational part to it. I have to talk about the size and the depth and do you frame it? Do you not frame it? Where does it hang? That wouldn't be good over a couch because it's a vertical. You got space on either side. Like, how are you going to eat that up?
I'd love to
sell you more paintings, but it might need to go over the mantle and be a horizontal. Most people haven't commissioned a painting. I'm willing to say a very high percentage, like 99% of people have not commissioned an original painting from an artist. So there is a lot of stuff to talk through. But yes, it's hung up. It's on the wall.
No, did she know where she wanted it?
Initially, she had an idea, then changed her mind.
So do you ever ask for like a picture of, like, do you take into consideration where it's going to end up?
Yes, especially, colors help, the surrounding colors help to a degree, but should not be the end all be all because people change their decorating style, they change their wall color. So if anything, the frame might be the one thing that would be an additional consideration, but not permanent. So it helps because with the Hermes paintings and the horse, it's almost a profile. There is a strategy to which way your subject faces in a painting.
Oh, interesting.
So you want them, for the most part, facing in. Like if I have two paintings next to each other, Ronaldo and Messi, I would hang them in a way that they're facing each other as opposed to facing out and looking away from each other, unless that's what you're trying to get at. Like they're enemies, they're rivals, but it would look better if you're bringing things in. So with the horse head, horse face, it's like, where are people entering the room from? Like, which way are you going to see this the most? Yeah. Which way is the room flowing? Where's your door? Where's the light? You know, send me a photograph. Let's pick which direction this horse should face. So that does go into it. A lot of times it doesn't have to be that particular, but I ask a lot of my collectors, like, send me a photograph, especially if we're doing this remotely and when you got to fine tune the size without me going in person. Obviously, most of them that are out of town, that's going to be the case. It's like, send me a photograph of your room with an object in it. So the couch, the mantle, a chair, whatever. I need that measurement. Mm-hmm. And then I can superimpose what your painting is going to look like on your wall. Takes out a lot of the guesswork, which I think
for you're most so people good at that.
Helps because a lot of people are visual learners and you want to take as much sting out of the process, the uncertainty out of the process as possible.
I think that's one of the things that makes you really valuable as an artist is the, you're really, really good at the tech, superimposing a painting onto a wall. So someone is like 100% dialed in and clear, like you can do that very quickly. And, I think that's really cool too. And like changing a color of something, like you're really good at dialing things in. One thing I've noticed is your paintings, a lot of them go, I don't even know if you've noticed this or if you know this, a lot of your paintings face this way. And so is that because you are left-handed? Like if you're drawing detail going this versus like having the face go to the left, like the way Wainwright is pitching.
Yeah. So facing to the right.
Yeah. On the polo painting,
the viewer's right.
The horses are at attention this way. And I know that's from Tara's photograph, which they're already looking that way, but that's a good example. Like, yeah. Have you noticed that?
I think that's coincidence.
Like your jumper is this way, right?
Yes. I didn't take that photograph. I could mirror it and composition would be just as impactful. Oh,
Is that from?
My friend Nicole took the jumper photo.
Oh, got it.
And so I could flip it and it would.
Like Jimmy. Be
just as impactful.
Marino. They're all that way. Biggie. Lil Wayne.
Maybe that's your bias being right-handed. I wonder if I looked back enough
that might be.
And saw the equal amount looking the other way.
When I build your marketing stuff, I like having them look that way because the text aligns. Like if you have, like it's really convenient how Coco is that way. Everybody is this way. And so the way it's, or maybe I'm picking and choosing.
Coco's going left.
No.
She's facing the left. Her head's here. Trophy's here.
You're right.
So she's looking to your left.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right.
Wainwright's looking to your right.
Is she really? She is. Yeah.
But now I'm curious. I wonder if that's your bias because that is a thing with people when they walk into a room. lefties go a certain way, righties tend to go a certain way. And I don't think about that. I think it's coincidence. There might be a subconscious bias, but I think a lot of it, because I'm using a collection of photographs, that's just the way.
Or do you gravitate toward those photos?
Yeah, I might. Great question. There's a thing in music that I've learned. I've taken photographs at concerts, and the position of the microphone is a thing.
Oh, interesting.
So you might see more photographs of a musician from a certain angle than others because the photographer is trying to keep the microphone from blocking musician's face.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
So they might be facing the crowd more this way or more this way.
Yeah.
But if the guitar's over here, it's like all that.
Oh, yeah.
So that goes into it. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe photographers have their own bias too. With your quarterbacks, most are right-handed. Pitchers are right-handed.
Like
you're not seeing as much if you're catching them from the other side.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like how much of a thing being lefty righty, like the video of you and Sarah LaPierre when you were on her podcast and you were like almost like bumping into each other because she's a righty, right? Or are you both lefties? No, you're both lefties, right? You're both lefties. And so you're both like, is she a righty? Oh, I should know that. Love her.
I'm leaning towards that she's right-handed.
Anyway.
Because she dispels this whole lefty artist thing. Like, of course you're an artist, you're left-handed. Like, well, the majority of the population is still right-handed and the majority of artists are still right-handed.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
But it's one of those, it's like, just because it gets more attention than it deserves that artists are right brain, left-handed, and therefore they're better. It's like a pattern you want to see.
Yeah. Like an confirmation bias or.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny. I always think it's interesting how there's so many, like when you sign your name, it's convenient for how you shoot content. Like when you sign your name, like your hand is very much out of the way. Like it's great. It's convenient.
Yeah.
Really convenient.
Hitting those angles.
Yeah. I feel like there's a thousand, going hard in the paint. I feel like there's a thousand questions that I want to ask you that we haven't hit. And I kind of want to leave this open for like a part two. Like I want to do a Q&A. I think like there's so many questions that people have asked me about you and about like working with an artist in general over the last year. Because we're pretty vocal about working with you. I feel like you're really one of like maybe four or five clients at Hypebos where I am very vocal about the fact that we work together out of respect also for like a lot of our clients don't want their project to be revealed or reveal that there's like a puppet master in the background helping them with, you know, whatever. And I feel like with you, it's also been impossible to hide us because we are at so many of your events.
Yeah.
We're getting so much content this season. Dude, so it is May 2025 right now? This past season, you were everywhere. Like, and not by our doing, like you were everywhere. I feel like Palm Beach like flipped a switch and was like, Kyle's the guy. And the way that you showed up and showed out. And it was so remarkable to see our community just rally behind art and you as an artist. And like you have fans everywhere. I feel like everywhere I go, people are like, so Kyle Lux, tell me more. Is he the real deal? Is he like that in person? When people ask me, is he like that in person? I'm like, as opposed
really?
To, yes. I get, oh my God, I get asked that all the time. Because people love a narrative that you're, not you. People love a difficult artist, like prima donna vibe.
Okay, so they see likable smile and Kyle, and they want me to be an asshole?
Yeah, or they want more, like about you. And it's almost like kind of baiting me into giving them more. Like, is he like that in real life? Like, is he, you know, as smiley and nice and charming?
He's weird.
And then I tell them that you're a dick. And I just shatter all hopes and dreams of.
Yeah. I'm even acting right now. I'm putting it on for the podcast.
Really? Just that Kyle Lux is a real asshole. Really is. I think that you and I've had so many situations where there could have been a lot of friction, like given like how, as an artist, given how particular you are with, as you should be, with your marketing and with the creative. I'll never forget this. When you and I first started working together, you were like one of our very first clients. And when we were creating some marketing material around the artist in residence thing, the artist in residence, full stop, like that was such a big deal. And I just remember like us doing, me doing this like graphic designy stuff and then sending it to you for approval and me just holding my breath. Like I just sent a graphic design to an actual professional artist and I'm just sitting there going like, ready for the notes, Kyle. And you were so kind about it too. It was so awesome. It was awesome. I learned so much from like just your notes on things, like the way you see space and also the way you see color, but like the way you see margins and space and yeah, you're really, really good at it. Huh. If you ever want to bail as an artist, graphic design, advertising.
Margin analyzer.
But anyway, yeah, you're a real dick. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it so much. I will have to have you back because I have 100 questions for you.
You know where to find me.
Was there anything that, is there anything that you want to promote? Talk about? There are 100 things I want to promote for you, but.
Yeah, as I say, that's a slippery slope.
We have a lot happening.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, like a lot of stuff this summer. So the big question in Palm Beach is like, what are you doing this summer? Mm. Are you going to Nantucket? Are you going to Aspen? Are you going somewhere north? I wish that was the case some days. I don't have like, so unfortunately I can't move my studio and still do my job as easily as people can take their work with them. Like it doesn't, I need 200 square feet. I need a certain amount of supplies and climate control. And like, as much of the art that it is, there's still some science involved. Like I got to be able to predict how this product, a manufacturing product out of thin air.
I'm laughing because having been in your studio, I feel like that is the biggest undertaking ever. Like making, cause you're so particular. It's just the lighting alone. And like the, all of, you have a lot of supplies. Like yeah. You use a lot of craft supplies and particle board and whatever, like all of your bullshit in your studio yeah. that you use. Like, yeah. And it's funny because when I'm in your studio, like you put things away. Like you're not like a messy artist by any means. Like there's so much rhyme and reason to your studio. I can't imagine you moving it.
Yeah, I'm not, I don't even want to think about it. I'm very well planted in my current space. But my point is it takes a lot. And it like takes a lot to produce a painting in a matter of weeks or months for a commission. Like that's all dialed in. I can predict that for a reason. So I don't travel really over the summer because I can't take the studio with me and be out of my element. But that's what my summers are. Like it's not vacation. It's not a change of scenery and doing a different season in a different part of the country that's also having amazing weather. I'm all for it for people that do that. It's like, great. One day I'll be chasing the good weather or I'll have a studio in these other places and just roll right into it. But I'm preparing for next season. This is an off season like an athlete, like I'm staying in shape. I got to keep up with the art and I'm preparing so that when November comes around and things start hitting again, that I'm not a dick. You want to see me a dick, like really stress me out with giving me a million things to paint in not enough time. And I will get flustered and like, that's not how, I can't rush this process. So I'm preparing so that when—
For the record, Kyle has never been a dick.
Yeah.
Not even a glimmer. Despite me giving you opportunities to be annoyed with us.
So I'm preparing so that I can keep at this pace and I can be in a good mood and have the energy and not have to paint balls to the wall and then go to an event and be personable and talk about the work and care what's going on and not burnt out or worried about what's going on and what's not drying because I didn't plan correctly. So yeah, that's what's coming up. There's some big irons in the fire. That we'll talk about in the next one if we can. And if not, then we'll do a part three and kick off next season. But yeah, it's really exciting to see what we don't know about yet.
I feel when you and I spoke a year ago, there was so much that you had like potentially lined up and lined up, but like there were a handful of things that were in on your calendar that you were preparing for and that you knew you needed like help legging out, like doing right by the stuff that was happening, which is so smart of you. Like that's why you should hire someone like Kaipos. So that it's not on your plate to feel like you're leaving opportunity on the table by not telling the story around it. And as an artist, like you're only making money and you're only doing right by your business if your hands are painting. And so like you shooting content and blah, 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 whatever. I can talk about that later. Yeah. But what's so cool is how many people in the last 6 months came out of the woodwork approaching us and you left, right, and center to do an exhibition here, and they want to feature you here, and they want, and that's only a reason, that only happens by your reputation, like by you showing up and being the real deal in person. You know, I was joking about people asking like if you're the real deal, because it's almost like people can't believe how, like how awesome you are. Like truly, and I'm really not just saying that. Like, I trust me, I wouldn't flate your ego anymore. I'm just kidding.
My 9-year-old artist ego.
Yeah, exactly. Literally, I'm like, go ahead, Kyle. You are 9, technically. We get it, Kyle.
My head's got to fit through this door on the way out, so.
Oh, I just love it so much. And I just absolutely adore you. And anyone that has, like, to know you is to love you. And I appreciate you. You were a very early cheerleader of ours, and I appreciate it. So like and subscribe for part 2, the Kyle Lux series. Thank you.
Thanks, Holly.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.